The day of Pentecost, one of three important festivals for the Jewish faithful. Pentecost, meaning 50th, the 50th day after the Passover. Pentecost, known as the Feast of Weeks, a harvest festival where the Jews offered to the Lord the first fruits of the new grain in accordance with the instructions found in Leviticus 23:15-21. Faithful Jews from the diaspora came to live in Jerusalem. They would follow the tradition and keep the feast. That day has arrived. In an upstairs room in Jerusalem were the disciples, now called the apostles, the 11, plus the newbie, Matthias, chosen by lot to replace Judas. Joining them were other believers, men and women who were also with Jesus. The apostles were waiting in Jerusalem, as Jesus had instructed them, in a post-resurrection appearance prior to his ascension, waiting there for the gift he had promised, the gift of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The text doesn't say it, but I don't imagine them sitting there in silence, twiddling their thumbs, or pacing the floor, or playing mitzvah charades. No, I imagine them deep in prayer, reflecting, seeking direction. Then, boom, it happens. Suddenly the room comes alive. There is a sound of a strong wind, and what looked like tongues of fire flashed before the apostles, around them and upon them. And as the book of Acts records it, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. And obviously they spilled out into the streets to the surprise and bewilderment of all and sundry. The people hear the apostles speaking in various tongues. They all understand. The great reversal of the Tower of Babel. Some are amazed. Others scoff and say they are drunk. Oh yes, people have not changed. The wind that roars through the house. What's with the wind? It is symbolic of an invisible power. You can see the effect of it, but you cannot see it. As such, it filled the room where they were meeting, like a build-up of pressure, like an invisible presence, which I have personally experienced in a prayer meeting, as I shared with you in my e-newsletter. Now, both the Hebrew and the Greek words for wind and spirit are the same, ruach and pneuma. We certainly know pneuma in the Greek. We know pneumatic. In Ezekiel 37, God commanded the prophet to prophesy to the winds to breathe on the valley of dry bones. When he did so, the breath of life came into them. God explains that he will put his spirit within his people and they would come to life. In John chapter 3, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about the need to be born of the Spirit. He explained, the wind blows where it wills and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, like the wind, is a mighty power, but we cannot see him. We can only see his effects. What's with the tongues of fire? Note that the text does not say it was actual fire, but what looked like tongues of fire. In Scripture, fire represents the holy presence of God. Moses in the wilderness saw the bush that was burning and yet not consumed. God spoke from the bush, indicating his presence in the fire. Israel in the wilderness was guided and protected by the pillar of fire, the presence of God leading them. John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus said that he had come to cast fire upon the earth in Luke 12:49. And Hebrews 12:29 says that our God is a consuming fire. Fire produces intense heat. In the refining process, the heat of the fire consumes the dross, purifying the metal. We sang earlier, purify my heart, let me be as gold, refine as fire, I choose to be holy. Did we mean it when we sang it? The heat of fire also pictures the zeal that should mark believers, who are to be hot, not lukewarm, in their devotion to Christ. as was the case in the church in Laodicea. As a church, are we on fire for the Lord or not? Are we hot or lukewarm, insipid, ready to be spewed out? Back to the text of Acts 2. Peter rises to speak, not with timidity, but with a newfound boldness, not of his own doing, but inspired and emboldened by the Holy Spirit. After the resurrection of Jesus, Peter cowered in a locked room and thought of giving up. But look at him now, 50 days hence. Feel his passion, hear his conviction, see his courage, marvel at his boldness. Take heed of his proclamation. He's on fire, metaphorically speaking. John Wesley said, "Light yourself on fire with passion, and people will come from miles to watch you burn." That's Peter on the day of Pentecost and thereafter. Peter, with the disciples standing with him as one, boldly and fiercely delivers the very first sermon to a crowd of people representing the nations. Oh, we cut him off today, but read on to the end of the chapter and see what transpired. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And the reply came back, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And on he went, presenting the argument of faith. And that day, about 3,000 people became believers. Wow. Wow. So fast forward. Pentecost 2018. Here we are, Pentecost Sunday, the day we recall what is essentially the birth of the church, the beginning of the movement first known as the people of the way, then labelled by opponents as Christians, intended as a derogatory term, but it stuck and became something of a badge of honour. Well, yes, we are still here. We are still here. But where is the wind of the Spirit? Where is the fire? Forget this artificial fire in our symbols and in our decorations. Where is the fire of conviction, of power, of the deep burning in our hearts? Where is that fire? Where are the people crying out to the Lord in repentance? Where are those being added to our number? We keep seeing the reverse. A remnant remains. Oh, that day of Pentecost. Oh, how we long to go back there. How we long to see the power of God move as in those days of the early church. How we long to see signs and wonders, the breaking in of the Holy Spirit afresh. How we long to see people convicted of their sin and so consumed by the love of God that they collapse in complete surrender before the cross of Jesus Christ. How we long to see people on fire for Jesus. Or maybe that's too close to home. Maybe that is our personal cry. Well, let me say it straight. We cannot manufacture a move of the Holy Spirit, but we can create a space in which the Holy Spirit may move. I'm talking first and foremost about our own lives. Bring revival, Lord. Start the work in me. How do we do that? We begin in prayer, in intentional, consistent prayer. And as we pray for an openness to be convicted of our sin, to have genuine repentance, that we are willing to change. And that leads to holy living, to being sanctified, being cleansed, being made more like Jesus. 1 Peter 1:13 to 16 says, "Therefore prepare your minds for action, discipline yourselves, set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, 'You shall be holy as I am holy.'" And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. Yes, that's the same Peter who spoke on the day of Pentecost. So what else? We need to be faithful and obedient to Scripture. We need to allow the Scriptures to regulate our living, not let our lived experience interpret the Scriptures, for thereby we will be in error. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 says, "For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth, and wander away to myths." Can we do as a church? Well, firstly, we celebrate our unity. Jesus said, "Be one as the Father and I are one." You know, we are not called to celebrate our diversity. As far as I can see, nowhere in the Scripture will you read that we are to celebrate our differences, though of course we are all different. No longer Jew and Gentile, male and female, slave and free, all are one in Christ Jesus, we read in Galatians. All are one. That is particularly true, I believe, in terms of our core fundamental beliefs. A church divided cannot stand. If we hope to see a move of God, we must stand together as one and prepare our hearts. We must be open to a potential move of the Holy Spirit, willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and be discerning of false spirits which create disunity and disharmony and which seek to tear the church apart, ripping the very fabric of our faith. Come, Holy Spirit, send the fire, send the fire. Purge us of iniquity. Sear our hearts. May we burn with a passion to serve you. Send the wind of your Spirit through us, through this house. May your Holy Spirit unsettle us, inspire us, empower us, equip us, that through us you will be glorified in this church and made known throughout our community. Oh, people of God, people of faith, pray to the Lord that he would fill you afresh with Holy Spirit presence and power. If your zeal for the Lord has gone cold, pray to the Lord that he would reignite your passion. Ask him to set you on fire. Pray for renewal. Recommit yourself to his way. Pray that he might fill you with his Holy Spirit. Oh God, we need you. We need your power. We need to rekindle that flame, that spark within us. We need, Lord, to see you moving amongst us, to prepare a place for you to come and to be truly present with us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come into this place this day. Come into our hearts. Lord, transform us by the power of your Spirit. Enable us and equip us. Embolden us to speak with courage and conviction the beautiful news of the gospel in this place, in our community, in our daily living. Amen.